Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One Podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. What is good, everybody? It is Wednesday, October 29th, 2025, and boy, I gotta say, first off, as always, thank you to everybody for listening. I appreciate you. No matter how this podcast finds you, thank you for taking some time out of your day to give it a listen. Thank you to those who are sharing it around on social media, sharing it with friends and family members, coworkers and whatnot, whomever. It really does make a huge difference, and it, just the comments and hearts, likes, thumbs ups, whatever it is on your platform, those actually do raise the podcast's viewership. So more people get eyes on it when people react to it and comment to it. So even if you don't have time to like write into the podcast at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios, you can always just leave a thumbs up on the podcast. You can leave a comment and say like, hey, good job, or hey, you suck, or whatever it is you have to say. Hopefully it's nice. I hope you like it. But yeah, that does raise the engagement. So only takes a second or two of your time to just push that little like button, or the little heart button, whatever it is. And yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. Speaking of people writing in, I've actually asked some questions in the last couple of podcasts, and I'm going to read some of those responses today. So you guys are in for a treat. If you've been following the podcast at all, your answers are about to make it onto the pod today. So congratulations and thanks to those wonderful people who did write in. And I got another topic that's coming. Hopefully I can schedule this guest in so we can chat about this more media-focused episode of the podcast for Patreon exclusive episode about like media, movies in particular, movies in general, and a certain film franchise in particular. Been wanting to do this for a while and looking forward to getting that done. So again, pop on over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and check out the episodes that are up there for free. And also, if you're brand new, there's like usually a, seven day free trial. So you can listen to all the episodes that are up there right now. And this one will be a Patreon exclusive. So you can join for as little, like seriously, it's just $3. And yeah, that can help support the podcast. It really does. And I appreciate it. It helps pay for like the site hosting and everything. And it helps pay to keep it on Audioboom, which is where it's being distributed. So thanks again to Audioboom for creating this platform that I can use as my platform. All right. You got the jibber jabbers out of the way. And I got to tell you guys something really, this is my favorite time of the year. Okay. Hands down, like autumn and winter are my favorite times of the year. One, because you guys know how much I hate the friggin' heat. I'm not going to be able to do much about that as climate change continues to march on. And, the leaders of at least the United States don't seem to be doing much to stop it, whether they're political or economic or, you know, leaders. They don't seem to really be doing much to stop the ravages that are happening to our planet. But when the cold weather comes around, it actually changes my entire mood. I love a nice cool autumn day, even like a cold winter morning. You wake up and make a hot breakfast, get yourself a mug of tea or cocoa or coffee or whatever your hot beverage is of choice. And I miss snow. Like, I don't get snow out here really in Florida, but I will tell you that one thing I really do love is just like that overcast gray sky, you know, and then like the changing of the leaves, always good. You get a little bit of that here in Florida, which is nice. But yeah, the changing of the leaves, and I really miss it from when I lived in North Carolina when I was a kid. Like, there's something about watching, like, the trees turn, like, all these wonderful oranges and reds and yellows, and it was just fantastic. It's one of my favorite seasons of the year. And then, of course, you know, the holidays, everybody's like, oh, you know, you got that time off of school, or, oh, goodness. Sorry, I woke up and I haven't had my aimbot yet. I'm thinking about taking one of these right now because these gummies are actually really damn good and they work. By the way, aimbot's an affiliate, so check out the link. I need to grab another jar, though, because I am almost out. I have 4 or 5 left, so I'm going to grab another jar and order that up. You can check out the podcast description for more, but you can get yourself some pretty good deals using my affiliate link. But yeah, it's a little yawny, but that's also the good thing about like an autumn day is just being able to kind of like slowly roll into the day and everybody's feeling it. You know, I'm yawning. I'm like, but I mean, I don't feel tired. It's just like so chilled and relaxed. Like my favorite thing about autumn is just like, because it's cooler, everything seems to slow down a little bit more. Everybody seems to chill out just a little bit. But it's not like the world, it's not like the pacing slows down, right? It feels like when it's cooler, people are able to move around a little bit more because they're not sweating their asses off and trying to find relief from the heat. You're more like trying to get your ass inside so you can get away from the cold, which is like one of the reasons why I think people think that, like, you know, people from New England and people from the Midwest, like Chicago, St. Louis, you know, Detroit, it's one of the reasons why we get perceived as like being rude. And it's like, it's not that we're rude. It's just that if you're wasting my time, you have to get the fuck out of my way. like that's one of the things that people don't understand about living up north where it gets really bitterly cold is I don't have time for you to waste my time. I need you to move. And then like when it gets hot, everybody just slows way down. Like the pace of life just like slows to a crawl. It's almost unbelievable. But yeah, the reason why people are a little bit more, because it's also the winters are longer up there. So it's more of a, how do I put it? Like more of a hurry up and get out of the way, do your thing, get up out of the way kind of thing. It's also one of the reasons why like people, I think mostly up north, don't tend to get too upset if people aren't like exactly on time. And we had this conversation a while back about people being on time for like a party or something like that. People don't usually mind because, you know, also there's weather to take into account. There's traffic. There's public transit that may or may not be running. There might be an accident, you know, if you're driving on the city streets. So you got to navigate around it. Maybe you have to circle the block 2 or 3 times to find parking because everybody at your place is, you know, paid for the parking spots and your paid parking is where your car is and trying to find street parking is a pain in the ass. Shit like that, right? That like we're more forgiving. Not that we're necessarily more patient, but we're more forgiving if somebody's late because we're like, I know you probably had to deal with a bunch of bullshit just to get here in the first place. So you being late don't really bother me as much as it is you wasting my time. Like if we're supposed to do something and you are dragging your ass, it irritates me. You being a little late, I'm not gonna really get too mad about that. You know what I mean? Only time it's going to matter. Ooh, man, I'm going to have to get me a cup of coffee right now. I mean, man, you know, I might even pause this and make myself a cup of tea. That might be the thing to do right now is just pause and make a tea. Yeah, we'll be right back after these messages that you aren't going to hear. Okay, sorry. I cut myself off in the middle of my own, like, commercial read or whatever. But yeah, we're talking about wasted time versus just basic tardiness, right? So I think the thing is, I don't like when people waste my time. And by waste, I mean like just being obtuse and be like, oh, I'm not paying attention. I'm just in the way. I'm not focused on what I'm doing. And it's like, you know what it is? It's the person in front of you at the restaurant, like when you're going to order like a fast food place or, you know, any place where you got to go pick up your own food, right? And there's always that one fool, and you know they're going to get the same shit they got, you know, the last 4 or 5 times they've been there. But they're like, what do I want? What you want is a brick to the back of the head. Hurry to fuck on and move. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. Like, just wasting someone's time. But, I mean, if you're late, there's any number of reasons why you could be late. I mean, there's any other reasons why you could just be tardy. I think tardiness is a little different. Yeah, like 10, 15 minutes, that's why I consider tardy. I mean, late is like half an hour or more. That's late. I mean, there's times when that matters. You know, reservations at a restaurant, airline flights, hotel check-ins, shit like that. But I mean, for most of the stuff, you know, it's not that huge of a deal. Take a look around. There's plenty of other shit to be worried about. But yeah, I just don't really see that as being a that big a deal, you know? And I mean, it's not that it's just let it float, but there's plenty of other shit to be worried about. Like, this is the last of your, least of your worries, I think, if you got them. It's just crazy that that's a thing. But yeah, anyway, like I said, I think that's what the cooler weather does. It brings about like a mood change for me, because like, I love cooler weather. It definitely makes me a lot happier and a lot more even keeled. You know what I mean? Because in the heat, like I said, everybody just wants to get someplace cool. But when it's cold, you're trying to get someplace warm, but you're more grateful, I think, when you get someplace warm than you are when you get someplace cool. You get someplace cool, you're still kind of running on hot energy. But if you're cold, you're just kind of grateful to be inside. You're like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're just more, I think you're more affable. You're easier to get along with more than anything else. I mean, that's obviously just my opinion. But I mean, that's how I feel about it. Yeah, so good times. Oh, man, so much stuff. I take notes, by the way, to help me keep my thoughts organized so I don't like completely miss stuff that I want to talk about. But there's been so much stuff that's just crazy, crazy, crazy. I know we were talking about like the Xbox stuff, and some of y'all don't really give a shit about gaming. That's fine. Don't worry. You can fast forward this probably about like 5-10 minutes or so. Man, oh, this past week, Bungie has been just screwing up. Bungie, the company that makes Destiny 2, so to speak, they've been screwing up a lot. Like, the Festival of the Lost is their like Halloween-themed event. And there's this interesting encounter that they built in where you take on waves of enemies, finish off a big boss, and then there's like a reward of chests at a reward chest at the end that you claim your prizes and stuff out of. There was a weird bug that happened for this thing where like doing an X amount of damage to the boss in a certain amount of time near the end of his life would actually soft lock you out of being able to get your rewards. So they'd just be sitting in the chest, but nobody could claim them. So they started off on a bad foot. and there's just not much fun about Festival of the Lost. Like, this event, everybody says it's kind of milquetoast and bland. It just doesn't feel great. It's built off of an event that currently exists in the game already, which is wild. But they used to have this thing called the Haunted Forest, which, well, I will tell you, it was a stressful-ass event in the first place. But at least it was kind of ingenious in the way that it, like, had you navigate through this haunted forest on varying difficulty levels, and then you have to escape the place after completing objectives. It was fun. It was definitely harrowing, and it fit the theme of, like, spooky Halloween stuff. Told you I was getting my tea. And there was one part in particular that used to freak me the fuck out every time. So near the end, as you're trying to escape, there's what seems like a long hallway. You know, it's like cracked. It's like a long pier kind of thing. It's like cracked stones. And at the end of the thing, you see like this huge, you know, reward chest kind of thing. And you're like, yeah, we made it. So you're sprinting down there, not realizing that at a certain part, the floor caves in. And when it caves in, there's this giant invincible like hive monster. The hive is just like, imagine like a giant stony insect, right? But it looks kind of like humanoid, like legs and arms and a head. And it's got this jack-o'-lantern for a head. And it just chases you down with this giant axe and just tries to smash you to pieces. And it can kill you in one shot. As soon as you get hit by the thing, it can dust you. So you kind of have to like boogie out of there. There's only like one other exit out of the, like one or two exits out of this place. You have to basically scramble up this little narrow chute to get out of its way. But yeah, that's the most terrifying thing that I'd encountered, was just walking along and then fucking the floor falls out from underneath you and this thing is just... The first time it happened to me, I'm sure I screamed. But yeah, it was actually interesting, though. I enjoyed playing it. But now, I mean, with Xbox and Bungie experiencing more crashes, Bungie messing up all the time, A lot of the joy of playing Destiny 2 is gone. Like, I'd been very critical about Bungie for the longest. Everybody who listens to the podcast knows that, but this just feels it just feels worse and worse. It actually feels more intentional now. Like, before you could almost say, well, maybe they're under pressure, they're dealing with like X, Y, and Z coming from the shareholders, the bad press about, their CEO buying a bunch of cars while people can't afford to eat or pay their rent, or just getting fired by an email, kind of shit like that. You're like, maybe that's affecting the people who are working on the game. Now it just feels like nobody gives a shit. And it's kind of sad. But that's kind of the thing that's happening lately too, if just looking around the gaming sphere, there's just weird stuff going on. Like, okay, so The Sims is a big ass game, right? And if you're not familiar with this, it's a basically what it is, a simulation game where you play like a create a character, you play a simulated life, maneuvering them through different tasks, from like birth to death. Then you can go to school, you can get a job, you can get married, you can do all these different things. And it's been largely, it's been produced by a game company called EA, Electronic Arts. And the people who work behind The Sims have decided they are going to actually leave The Sims. A lot of the devs have been like, we're not going to work with this anymore because EA recently sold out to a Saudi investment bank who was also being partnered by with Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. And people aren't very happy about that. And there's been a lot of blowback lately because of people like the Trumps and whatnot, like bowing into or buying into like Saudi investment groups and stuff like that. And they're like, maybe the individuals who live in Saudi Arabia are awesome, decent people, and I would like to believe that they are. But their government does some really horrendous shit, and the people who are close to those governmental power structures are basically de facto signing off on it and buying into it. And so, like, when you tie your money with theirs, you leave a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people. And so people are boycotting EA games now, so much so that EA sold in, they bought in with Microsoft for that stupid, $30 price increase, the 50% price increase on Game Pass that I've been carping about for the last couple of weeks. They bought in on that. To shovel more EA content down your throat. And then right on the heels of that, they do this buyout deal. Oh, so EA is now owned by like a Saudi investment group. And people are like, no. So people are deleting EA games that they've had. They're refusing to play EA games on stream. Like, I won't. That's the same thing that happened with Activision Blizzard when they were going through their CEO or their C-suite scandals where people were sexually assaulting or harassing lower-leveled employees. The one time they did, like, they rented out the Cosby Room at this hotel and were doing drugs and trying to convince lower-level staffers to do sexual stuff with them. During that time, right before the Microsoft buyout, I stopped playing Blizzard games altogether. Which is actually pretty unfortunate because for the longest time, I actually enjoyed Blizzard games quite a bit. Warcraft and StarCraft were two of my favorites, also Diablo. And then I got into Overwatch and I really loved that. But it was just like, man, what do? You don't want to support them, you don't want to give them any more mind share by putting their gaming content out there. But at the same time, it feels like everybody's doing this shit. Like, where do you go? Where do you go to enjoy yourself anymore? It seems weird to complain about that, but I mean, it does feel like some people can relate when you think about like the amount of actors and musicians and even politicians who've or pastors who've been caught in like serious scandals and whatnot. And you're like, man, now I can't. I thought this person was good, and now I can't enjoy this shit. And it's fucking distressing. But I mean, there's still answers out there. You know what I mean? It's just crazy that that's a thing that's happening. Like, Xbox is also saying that they're not competing with gaming companies anymore. They're competing with like TikTok and other entertainment companies. Like, let's just be real, dude. You make friggin' video games and video game consoles. Putting Halo out for the PlayStation 5, great, good job, whatever, I don't care. The more people that get to play a great game like Halo, the better, I think. When they put Gears of War out for other consoles, I'm like, yeah, sure. Makes sense. Gears of War is a great game. It's a great franchise. I mean, shit, it's the one game logo that I said I would consider getting tattooed on my body because of how much the franchise meant to me just as a player. Because I love the design of the Crimson Omen, no doubt, but just how much the franchise meant to me as a player and during that time of my life when I landed upon Gears of War, it was that impactful to me. So more people getting more eyes on your games and, you know, being able to make more money, I've always said that that's a good thing. One, that breeds competition. So if you're like, hey, this game came from Xbox and they're giving it to Sony for us to get, but, you know, Xbox is getting a bunch of this money. We need to make a game like this so that we can compete with that. And we don't have to necessarily make it console exclusive because blue pennies spin like green pennies spin like red pennies. But if we at least make a good ass game where we get the lion's share of the stuff, we can give it to other companies to sell for us. And we'll still get the credit for it. You know what I mean? We get dapped up because we made that game. Which I think is a smart move. But, you know, just this idea that, like, they're gonna, well, we're gonna make a next generation console for what? You said you're not competing in the, you know, the gaming space. So what are you gonna do? You're basically at this point, you're just releasing a budget PC. Just say that that's what you're gonna do. We're no longer gonna have console gaming. We're just gonna go move straight over to PC gaming forever and ever. Amen. And then I'd be like, all right, great. Like, looks like I'm switching over to Nintendo because there's no way I can afford to buy a fucking gaming PC just for myself. That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, if I bought one, it would be doing multiple things, right? It'd be like the one I use for podcasting, for artwork, for when I finally get this. I'm trying to decide what music program I want to pull up. I have one, but it's like more designed for like editing music that's already been performed and recorded. It's not so much for creating music digitally. So I'm like looking at that. But yeah, my computer would be a multimedia computer. So by the time I got around to actually being able to get one, it seems like that day's never going to come, you know, no matter what I do. Every time I get close, like, to being able to buy this computer, some shit happens, and then I can't buy the computer, you know? So I'm like, fuck! But, you know, when that day does come, do I want to go with, like, a Falcon Northwest computer? Do I want to go, like, a build my own through, like, a bunch of different websites and put the parts together myself? Do I want to order one from Microsoft, because that's what it sounds like they're getting ready to start doing. I don't know. But it is weird to see that they're operating in that space and with that mentality of like, oh, we don't compete with other game companies. You absolutely do. 1,000% you do. Fucking weirdos. See, this is one of those things where I feel like I need to go back to college and or get like a tutor for like computer science, like editing, whatever, you know what I mean? I need to go back to school. And also for like languages, because bro, I'm telling you right now, what I really wanted to do was to get my own, I think we talked about this before, was to get my own Rosetta Stone account so I don't have to overlap with my wife's account and the lessons overlapping. But the other thing about it too is just finding the time and the discipline to sit down and do the damn lessons. You know, like there's the desire and then there's the ability or the time, you know what I mean? It feels like it all doesn't work out at the same time. But you be trying. You be trying. I really damn sure do. I pull up a lesson every now and again. I don't know if I can do this right now to myself. Me brains is small. Me brains is drying up. But Octopath Traveler is still fun. Some of you might not know that, but I actually bought that game for my Nintendo Switch, the first and the second one. And then they have a Zero version, which I haven't bought. I want to get it on physical copies because I love the Nintendo Switch for that. But yeah, I just went back and played it the other day on stream, and I might play a little bit more of it today. I just kind of forgot how good that game was and how much fun it was to play and how enjoyable the story can be. The story's a little weird. There are some weird, like, kind of moments in it, but I think that might be a cultural difference, or maybe the writers were some weird little pervs. I don't know. But there, it's still a great game over other otherwise. Like, it's incredibly beautiful to look at. It's very well designed in terms of gameplay. And the story, like I said, aside from some cringy moments and some, like, what the hell was that about moments, it's really well done. I really dig it. I dig that a lot. What I'm not really digging is, man, the football. The football has been rough. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to run through some of the politics stuff just because I know some of y'all probably thought about this or seen this. The crazy thing about doing like a video now, it's almost weirder because like audio, it's going to hit multiple formats and whatnot. And I always have the raw files. But like video gets edited and audited in such weird ways. Like there's a TikTok creator that was out there who had his video stolen and then edited via AI by the Department of Homeland Security. Right? This is a weird story. And you may have heard of it, you may not have, but just bear with me on this one. All right, so the way this goes down is a TikTok creator who goes by Mr. Florida J-Hit had created a video about basically poking fun at Iran and saying that, like, hey, y'all want to mess around, the United States is coming for you, kind of jazz or whatever. And while, you know, he's like, it was just more of a joke because of a B-2 bombing strike that happened against Iran, but Iran, so he's like, yeah, he's like, it was mostly just jokes. He's like, but then the Department of Homeland Security took his video and then edited it and changed the caption, basically making it look like young black men, because it was him and a bunch of other young black men, were going out to take out bounties on ICE agents and saying that the cartels put a $50,000 bounty on ICE agents' heads. One, the guy's like, that didn't happen. I didn't make that video. And then two, I had a completely different subject in mind when I made my video, and they didn't even play that. And now DHS is trying to say, oh, we didn't steal it. And like, kind of looks like he did. You look at the video, you can see how people's, you know, arms are edited out. Faces are blurred over. Some people are just like superimposed with like different outfits. It's like the same face, but a different outfit. And they're standing in like a similar configuration, but then the background's different and like the lighting and the shadowing doesn't match. Like, you guys doctored this video to make it look like black people were trying to take out ICE agents, which is just not happening. But that's funny because like you could tell, like I was saying before, you can tell when somebody's really kind of, you know, just weak because of the tactics that they employ or deploy at their disposal to try to like make themselves look cool, right? Like this is a really weak ass way to do it. Like, you know, it's a very much like a child. Like we talked about Trump's video about him flying a fighter jet, which he would never be able to do, by the way. Flying a fighter jet and dumping actual human feces on No More Kings protesters. And that's a really weak sauce way to approach, you know, dissension. And, you know, like when you're not popular or not famous, you're like, I'm going to show you, I'm a poo-poo on your head. What are you, 5? Get the fuck out of here. And then also stealing their content wholesale, altering it with AI and then being like, we didn't do that. Bitch, we got the receipts. We could see it. You know what I mean? It's crazy. But that's how they feel. And you know what they do? This is not the only person who's been a victim of this or only creator. The Department of Homeland Security actually just recently used Halo imagery. We were talking about Halo just a moment ago. They used Halo imagery in a recruitment poster post on Twitter. X, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. And join.ice.gov. And it says, fight the flood. Basically equating immigrant persons who are coming to the United States as a cannibalistic race of aliens, which is what the Flood are. They eat other, well, then they're not cannibalistic, but they kill and eat other entities, beings, creatures, races, whatever. And then, like, by spores kind of replicate themselves and just propagate their species across the galaxy. And they're one of the more insidious enemies in the game. But, yeah, that's what they're basically saying. So whoever did that is either some idiot who doesn't know what Halo is about, because that's what happens is, like, the humanity and the aliens, the Covenant, band together to fight against the Flood to actually stop a real threat. When they thought they were taking out each other, they realized, the real threat was actually this other group of just, they're not even alien, like, beings necessarily. It's basically like a bunch of mushrooms came to life and started, you know, sporangiophoring all over people and turning them into zombies and making them kill everything else that exists. They're like, this thing doesn't have any sentience in the way that we think of it. It just wants to devour human life and destroy everything, which is maybe... That's kind of what the Trump administration is. It feels like it anyway. A little too on the nose there for you. But yeah, they're really getting their just desserts lately. I mean, they're trying their best to still be dickheads. Don't get me wrong. They're still trying. The Border Patrol Chief, Greg Bovino. So he's a dude who was in Chicago recently. And he was seen throwing tear gas canisters at protesters who were just walking by and marching. They weren't doing anything, you know, illegal. They weren't attacking anybody. But yeah, he's on camera throwing tear gas into a crowd of protesters. These are the same geniuses, by the way, who also tear gassed, I think it was 27? I had a note about it earlier. They tear gassed a bunch of Chicago police officers, by the way. So good on them. And then we find out that it's not just ICE. So, you know, one thing I found out recently, and this is an interesting thing, ICE is kind of like a catch-all, but they're not necessarily the people who are on the streets. A lot of that stuff that's happening has been taken over by the Border Patrol Commission, and the ICE agents that we're talking about, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, just learned this recently. Most of those actual agents, the reason why they're so doughy and out of shape is because they're desk agents. Most of those people who are showing up there are like desk jockeys. They're handling paperwork. That was not what ICE was intended to do. They weren't supposed to be, you know, banging on doors and throwing tear gas canisters at people. They were designed as a bureaucratic office and a bureaucratic agency, more than one that's more militarized, like the Border Patrol agents, you know, who are bastards as well. But yeah, so this dickhead, Greg Bovino, got busted on camera for doing this shit. And so now Illinois Circuit Court judge has, like, already hit this motherfucker with an injunction. So he has to wear a body camera at all times during his workday. And then he has to report to this judge at 6 p.m. every day. Dude is basically on fucking academic probation. Because they just want to be cruel. They just want to be mean. They don't have any real agenda except be mean to everyone who isn't white. It's that simple. You know how simple this is? It goes down to there was a gentleman who went into, I'm going to say gentleman just if I'm being polite. There was a guy who was talking on live, I think it was on Facebook Live, about going into the Atlanta airport this past week and going to shoot up the airport. Well, some friends and family members saw him talking about this on live as he was on his way to the airport. They alerted the police and the airport security, who proceeded to disseminate this man's information, you know, as far as like his name, his photograph, and, you know, this, that, and the other. And they accosted him, and then they arrested him, right? He was in the airport. Turns out he didn't actually have the weapon on him. He had it in his truck, which was parked illegally in front of the airport. And I'm going to show you how weird this is. Now, Atlanta has a black mayor, if you couldn't have guessed by the fact that I'm talking about Atlanta. So yeah, I didn't make sure I got this right. So the mayor of Atlanta is a man named Andre Dickens, and he goes on, I think he was on CNN. I know he's on CNN, so I think we have the right guy here. He goes on to talk about this potential disaster that was averted by, you know, the efforts of the family, the efforts of the, you know, the staff at the airport and the Atlanta PD. at the Hartsfield Jackson International Airport in Atlanta, Georgia. So the guy was arrested as he was trying to enter a terminal. 49-year-old Billy Cagle of Cartersville, Georgia is his name. He had an AR-15 assault rifle, 27 rounds of ammo in his pickup truck parked outside of the airport. So he goes on CNN, and I was actually really irritated with this interview because he was being questioned on the air, and they were like, well, why didn't someone do something about the truck that was parked illegally in front of the, why was nothing done about that sooner? And the mayor's looking at this lady like, do you have rocks in your head? He's like, we have an active shooter. There's nobody in the truck. If he drove up and we had a description of him, even if we had a description of his truck, the truck is one of those nondescript white, like long bed trucks you've ever seen. It looks like any other truck basically out there on the road. So like any one of those trucks could have been a wild goose chase. But if we know what this dude looks like, he's a very unique looking dude. We can get him. The truck, last I checked, wasn't going to come and shoot up the airport. Billy was. So I was really disappointed because she kept drilling down on that. Well, you know, somebody should have responded soon. He's like, yeah, it was ticketed by the TSA, like the Metro police that work there, like the airport traffic police. But they're not there to enforce security. And also, the truck was not a threat. This man was. But this is one of those things I was talking about on my Discord, is that this desire by media to paint black people in the worst light possible so that they can have an extra dose of blame heaped upon them when something bad happens. It's the way that they attacked this mayor and like acted like somehow like he was kind of to blame, but also the people who worked there were kind of to blame. It's like, who the fuck is this bitch? Who is she talking to? You know what I mean? Who is she talking to right now that she's saying like, I didn't do this and we could have done that. Like, we did everything by the book. We got the guy. Why are you harping on this truck? Like, do you have something against trucks? Like, what is her deal? And I was really disappointed because I know CNN gets like a lot of shit for being left-leaning. And I don't think that that's necessarily undeserved, you know? But at the same time, it's like, why is this the talking point? You know what I mean? Cash Patel. All right, this is another thing about brown people getting roasted by media. This one's actually kind of funny. It's that Cash Patel's getting trucked over like a Diwali post that he put on X by his own MAGA moron base. They're basically saying that, you know, him and his evil demonic religion need to get out of the country. You know what I mean? But Cash has been very well reported as wanting to be, again, one of those brown people who wants to be close to white power structures. So it feels like he's one of the good ones until they very quickly remind him that he's not. Like, they don't want you, period. They don't want you around at all. They did that same thing to Vivek Ramaswamy. Recently, we were just watching a video that goes back and played back some of his like town hall meetings where he basically gets chewed out by a bunch of young white kids who are just like, we don't want you and your devil gods here. It's like, we can't trust you because you're Indian. There was a lady, I think it was Newsmax, was interviewing him. She's like, I think that you have some very good policies, but I won't vote for you because you're Indian. And I'm like, yo, that is crazy work to invite the dude on your show, jazz him up with like praise and stuff like that to the point where he starts smiling. And then she goes, I won't vote for you because you're Indian. And he's just, you saw it like, you saw like somebody just poured hot pee on his face. He was just, his face immediately melted. And I was like, ooh, stings, don't it, Vivek? Yeah. You thought if you played nicey nice that these racist assholes were going to like you. No. You're on the wrong side, man. You're on the wrong side of this issue. It's funny to watch these Republicans start to get theirs and stuff like that. And it was crazy because like there's definitely some fear and trepidation that happens. You know, like in our county, they were, it sounded like we had like a drive-by shooting one night. And then like the day after, or the next day, the county was saying like they were going to put up checkpoints to check on IDs and, you know, driver's licenses and registration and insurance cards, and then also doing some mandatory driver's education courses. I'm like, bro, if you pull me over to teach me how to, like, you know, operate a four-way stop, we might actually have to go to the news, because there's no fucking way. And then there's also rumors that, like, maybe ICE agents were going to be involved because, you know, Ron DeSantis, right? There's no reason why he wouldn't try to, you know, persuade one of the most red counties in the red part of a red state. Hey, well, Eric, see if you can get some of them beaners out of there. It's probably not how he said it, but that's what he meant. And I know that that's a thing he's been pushing for. So fuck that guy anyway, in particular. But yeah, they're getting it. Trump threatening to use the Alien Enemies Act to push the military into various cities. Look, if he does this, I want you guys to remember something. What he's trying to do right now is completely unlawful. And I was talking with a friend of mine earlier, and I was like, you know, you're not compelled as a soldier to follow any unlawful order. And honestly, I think that you're actually allowed to have some moral obligation, moral objections as well. But at that point, you'd probably have to just, like, rescind your posting and be like, you know what? I'm out. Just, I need to be discharged because I can't see me doing this shit. But yeah, like, if he does try to send people into these cities, like, he's seeing the blowback already just with the National Guard. And trying to get the National Guard from other states to come into to a third state to be like, we're going to do what the president says. And he's like, they're like, get the fuck out of here. It's really funny to watch, like, them get shit on. The Lincoln Project has this great video about the new Trump Epstein ballroom that's being constructed. And it's raunchy as all get out, but it is hilarious. I have to go and find it so I can link it in the video in the description for the podcast. You can see it. If you haven't, you owe it to your life to see it. Just know that it does get a little ribald, so you're not gonna be like, oh, this is great. You're not gonna want to share this with everybody you know, but it is definitely worth a watch if you're a fan of the show. If you're a fan of, like, my podcast, if you are not a fan of Trump, this is gonna be worth it. And that's the other thing, too, is, like, watching these out-of-shape ICE agents falling and busting their ass and eating shit when they're chasing people is hilarious. I don't feel bad for them at all. If you took this job, you're a piece of shit. Like, if you worked for ICE because you were trying to, like, just back, like, let's say, like, 3 years ago or whatever, you're like, I really do believe that there should be a path to citizenship, and I don't want people to just break the law and come over here illegally, but I'm going to do this through the bureaucratic means. I'm not here to, like, fucking knock heads in and zip tie kids naked in the streets. That's not my deal. To a certain extent, I can excuse that. But these motherfuckers who are joining up for the $50,000 bonus, fuck you. Everything that happens to you on that job, I feel like you deserve, because you signed up to be cruel. So if cruel things happen to you, it's kind of not that peculiar that it happens, that the karma comes back real fast. You know what I mean? Like, if you do mean-spirited shit and mean-spirited shit happens to you, you can't be like, oh, but why me? Because you. That's why. That's exactly why. It's 1,000% why it happened. Because you're you. You did the you thing. And it's really interesting that, like, Republicans and the Trump administration, like I said the other day, they carry the majority of all three branches of government, and they could absolutely have fixed things around SNAP and Medicare. Coming up, by the time you guys hear this, we'll be close to the 1st of November. Thousands of people, I think it's somewhere nearly in the hundreds of thousands of people are going to lose their SNAP benefits. And that's disgusting and sad, but they're going to try to blame it on the Democrats. The Democrats are sitting here going like, we don't control the majority of the governmental structures in the United States. You do. And it'd be very easy for you to fix this if you would just say, hey, we're just not going to mess with these people's health care and mess with their benefits, and we can work out some other stuff. But you won't commit to that. It'd be very easy for you to swear in the newly elected representative. I'm going to blank on her name. I don't want to, but I'm going to, because I just can't remember everything. There we go. Didn't take long. Adelita Gravalia, I think is her name. I hope I'm getting that last name pronounced correctly. I think it's Gravalia. But she's just been elected to Congress. But, you know, Mike Johnson doesn't want to swear her in because she's going to actually end up breaking the majority in the House. So that means that other little shitty games that they want to play won't get done. So Mike Johnson has just decided, like, instead of doing what he's supposed to do, which is his job as a Speaker of the House and swearing her in to her position, he's been stalling for that. They could absolutely fix this government shutdown by just doing their freaking jobs, but they're not going to. And somebody's been saying, I've heard more than a handful of people say this, the pain is the point. The cruelty is the point. Like, that's the whole objective. They want to be as mean and cruel and petty and hateful as they possibly can be in an attempt to dishearten people. But what's happening is it's really just backfiring on them because they're like hurting the very people who voted for them to be there. And now they're going to have to eat that crow because they're like, oh, shit. We didn't expect people to actually, I don't know, hold us to account for the shitty things we were doing. I thought they were just going to vote for us because, you know, we're their guys. They're like, no, when they start suffering, dude, they will turn on you. They will turn on you. And they are. And they have. It's just, it's so sad to realize that they're that dumb that they don't get it. Like, it's really disappointing and distressing. But, like I said, every day's a new day. Hope cometh in the morning. And, I think that we're going to see a significant change coming soon. I think it's actually coming sooner than we think. And I'm hopeful that some of these other states that have, like, some off-year midterm elections are going to help lead the charge and open things up for more reasonable, rational, and empathetic human beings to step in and show us what true democracy really can look like and should look like. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah. Oh, we're going to get into some gridiron gripes, but I want you to be thinking about this for the duration of the next few minutes of the podcast. Last week, week before last, I asked a question. We're going to get to that in a minute. And I got some really great responses. So I figured I'd try it again. If you could rewind time 15 years, you don't get to go back and start over again. You just get to go backwards in time 15 years and talk to your younger self or do one thing. What is the thing that you would say or do if you could go back? Like, you won't get to stay. But if you could go back 15 years and talk to your younger self or do something as your younger self, what is the thing you would say or do? Again, don't forget that you can hit me up with the answers at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. It's so easy. It's free. Plus, I also drop some bonus content there that's not paid for. So you can actually get some extra bonus stuff as well. And it helps me to not forget your messages because some people wrote me off Patreon, and I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that because I forgot about it because it was on a different platform. Go to Patreon. It keeps it all organized, and it's just between me, you, and the wall. You know what I mean? No ifs, ands about it. Unless you tell me to read your name because you want to hear your name on the air, and why wouldn't you? I won't, so don't have to worry about that. But yeah, it's way better, and it also helps me get directly back to you and give you direct feedback. So please do that. But yeah. We have a question coming up here for the end of the podcast, and this is a response, actually. We're going to read the responses from the last question. But that's the question for this week's podcast. If you could rewind time 15 years, or go back in time 15 years, and talk to your younger self, you know, obviously, what would you say or do? Like, what is one thing you would say or one thing you would do for your 15-year-old or 15 years younger self? And let's get to the gridiron grab so we can get this thing wrapped up. Everything failed, man. I called Chicago and Pitt to win. I thought that Chicago had a great shot against the Ravens, and I couldn't see the game, so I couldn't begin to tell you what happened. I don't know what happened, but Chicago is doing a very Chicago thing, and they're starting to fall apart. We're not even halfway through the season, really, just barely, and they're already starting to unravel. And I hate when this happens because they start out real strong, and then You know, like I said, last couple of weeks, when it's whether it's penalties that they get stacked upon themselves, penalties that they get unfairly called, or that the refs just don't call for them, Chicago ends up being their own worst enemy in a lot of cases. And the other thing is, trying to be a fourth quarter team just does not work for Chicago. It never has, and it almost never will, I would imagine. And it showed out this week because they lost their asses 16-30 versus the Baltimore Ravens, which brings Chicago down to 4-3, but brings Baltimore up to 2-5. I think, like, okay, hooray, I guess. But that's how you lose to a team that's that bad, that you were taking them down. You were 4-2 going into this week, and now you're 4-3 because you lost to these dudes? Embarrassing. Embarrassing. Now, the other one I did have on the docket was one that I kind of figured was going to be as close as it was going to be, and that was Green Bay versus Pittsburgh. And boy, howdy, when I tell you, Green Bay got a couple lucky calls in there, but at least seemed like the Steelers came to give as good as they got. And that game walked off with Green Bay getting 35 points to Seattle's. I'm looking at the chart right now for all the different games coming up, to the Steelers 25. So not the closest game in the world, still a 10, like basically a three score game essentially, two to three score game. But it's just, man, they were so close. They just couldn't seem to, you know, actually they couldn't seem to really wrap themselves around Green Bay long enough to slow them down and wear them out. And it's unfortunate. I mean, people were saying that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a little too old to be playing a game against a younger quarterback like Love. But I don't know. I think, like, Aaron Rodgers showed some flashes of brilliance, but I think also, like, he's used to playing a different kind of ball than the younger, newer players on his team. And while they have some team synergy and some, you could definitely tell that there's like a lot of camaraderie on the team, but you could also tell there's a bunch of moments where he's like herding cats, and it was getting to him. It was wearing him out. And I think, I mean, if you're going to say he should retire, sure, whatever. I don't know. I couldn't be Aaron Rodgers in this situation. I would hate it. But I think it is kind of interesting to note that, like, he is on the struggle bus lately. And, man, that was a really bad beat. But, you know, it happens. It happens to everybody. Eventually, you got to lose one, right? Like, even over the course of a couple of years, you got to lose at least one. So the Packers end up sitting at 5-1-1, which is, I mean, hooray for them. And the Steelers end up shuffling to 4-3, which is not horrible. I mean, it's still decent, but it's just not what you'd want for them. You know what I mean? And then, of course, we have this week's games that are coming up on Sunday. We've got the Chicago Bears facing off against the Cincinnati Bengals. This is going to be a game. And you know what? I'm going to put this as too close to call. I'm going to say that one's too close to call because I don't trust Chicago to not screw me anywhere. Like, I trust them to actually make me look stupid if I push them into the win column. I'm going to say this is too close to call, that one. Yeah, it is kind of a cop-out. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of a cop-out, but I don't care. I don't care. They don't care either. So, I mean, why should I be, you know, carrying water for them? And then, you know, next up, we've got the Steelers are facing off against the Indianapolis Colts. This is one I don't know about either. I'm going to actually pull this one for Indy. I'm going to pull this for Indy to win because I feel like they've been stomping on everybody so far, but I haven't really checked out their season yet. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes a team gets a really lackadaisical schedule and everybody's like, they're amazing. And then they get close to playoff contention and then they're getting stomped on. Everybody's like, but what happened? You're like, yeah, they were trash. They just got lucky with a bunch of ain't shit teams. You know? So, I don't know. I'm going to say that Indy wins this one. I don't see Pittsburgh pulling it out. against a clearly, I mean, even if they're not the best team in the league, they're clearly asserting their dominance somehow. And then finally, lastly but not leastly, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars facing off against the Las Vegas Raiders this Sunday. That's going to be a later game at 4 p.m. I'm putting this one on Jacksonville. I think they're due. Like, they've had a couple of really bad beats over the last couple of weeks. They've had some really close games that, like, could have gone either way, and they should have won. They should have had a larger point margin, I think, in some of these games than they have had. But again, like I said, sometimes, just like Chicago, Jacksonville's their own worst enemy, giving up a lot of yards on penalties and stuff like that. And I think that they know, this isn't like a unique criticism of Jacksonville, but I do think that, like, it's one of those things that it's an addressable one. And, like, it's not unfair to say that, like, they do hurt themselves, but they also do get shafted by the refs quite a bit. And that's not just favoritism because they're, like, the hometown team or whatever. It's really obvious sometimes when the refs are just like, you know what? Fuck them. You can see it. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, the refs, they definitely watch this dude commit a foul or penalty right in front of them. And they're like, yeah, but it's Jacksonville, so who gives a shit? And I've watched that happen enough times to know that, like, yeah, I could tell when I'm getting hosed. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to try to shine me on. I know that you're playing me. I know you're trying to screw me over. It's fine. I get that you don't care, but you have to understand that I do. So anyway, that was just that was the Gridiron Gripes. And those are my picks for this week. Let's see how right or wrong I am come next podcast, by next podcast. The tale of the tape shall be told. All right, and now we're going to close this off with the fun section, which is the question that I asked for a couple weeks ago. If you'd like to have your responses read here on the podcast, again, remember, please go to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, or you can stop by the Wandering One Studios Blue Sky, and I will make a post about this. I'll probably do one on Patreon and on Blue Sky, so you can respond directly to those as a comment. Or you can send me a direct message if you'd rather have your responses be private. But yeah, we're going to pop off with that one. And we'll say, the Wandering One Blue Sky is pretty easy to find. It's the letter W, the numeral 1, the word studios.bsky.social. You'll be able to find me over there. And like I said, the Patreon is patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Let's get into this week's question. Thank you all for writing in. And of course, unless you've asked me to read your response, your name, I won't read your name. I just go through the responses that I got. And so what are some of the things that were, the question was, what were some of your biggest turnoffs for a person or something that they do that gives you the ick, as people would say, you know, just like, what's a thing that somebody can do and you're like, oh yeah, we won't be having like a second or whatever date. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going on another date after this. Like, in fact, if you see me past the next like half hour, consider yourself very fortunate, or just know that I didn't have enough of a way to get the hell out of here. Like, I couldn't get a ride out of here fast enough, or the Uber would have been too much. You know, I had to deal with the Uber pool on a weekend. I'll let you drop me off at my house so you never have to talk to each other again. And so I asked around. I got some cool answers, and it was actually really fun to listen to. Thank you all out there for your answers. You know who you are. And if you don't and you want me to read yours, next time I said, just tell me. Hey, you can read my name out loud, or you can respond publicly to the posts on Patreon or on Blue Sky. But if not, if it goes into the inbox, I'm definitely going to not read your answers. Like, I'm not going to read your names. But I will read your answers, though. And the answers to that question was, to the question, what is your biggest turnoff or ick when it comes to dating? This was, I guess, this was fun for me to get the answers to. Because I felt like a lot of these things were pretty reasonable. I didn't see anything that was unusual. Yeah, sometimes you get, like, I think one person I heard, and then I had a similar question asked via another podcast. I didn't ask it. I heard it asked. And this one lady said, it was like, if a man, oh God, how did she put this? it was something really inane and like that would make you feel like, ew, I can't trust him. I think you should know if a man drinks a drink with this, either with or without a straw. I think it was with a straw. Like if he has like a mixed drink or something like that, and then he drinks it with a straw, she gets turned off by it. I'm like, bro, what do you mean? have you been around the block? We've had COVID. We've had like there's new outbreaks of like measles, mumps, and rubella. You know, there was a smallpox outbreaks not too long ago. We had fucking Ebola show back up. Bro, I'm not putting my lips on anybody's cup in no restaurant, bro. Like, I'm using straws all day. I don't even bring my own straw if I feel like it's that big a deal. That is wild, crazy business. But thankfully, more of the people that listen to my show are a little bit more reasonable. And so we got some good answers, which were like normal human being answers. But one of these wonderful people says, my turnoffs are two like things that are just like an instant red flag it kind of thing is being a dick to servers, which is a great one. The way somebody treats service people is a huge, huge telling sign. And I just think it's something like there's certain variations on the theme, but it's like the true test of a person is how they treat someone who can do nothing for them in return. And then also, here's another one, like this with the servers thing. The amount of disrespect you show to somebody who gets to see your food and drink before you do, is a huge telling sign. Like, I've worked in restaurants before, and I've seen some of the things that kitchen staff and servers can and will do to your food if you're rude to them. I would urge you to move with a lot of caution when it comes to dealing with people who are going to touch things, handle things that you're going to put into your mouth or into your body. You should be very, very extra nice to them. Because if they're having a bad day, you might catch a lump somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, something's going to end up growing on or inside of you. So mind your P's and Q's with those people. Another one was, the other answer was, so being a dick to servers, complaining about things that aren't even really an issue. I can see that too. You know what I mean? Some people bitch about something that's not really a problem. Or here's another one. They bitch about something that they're the problem. Like, it's not that it's not an issue. It's like the issue is you. You're the one fucking up. So if you stop fucking up, this issue will resolve itself. But instead of looking at that and focusing on that, they choose to just be mad about some shit. Like, that's not going to work for anybody. And then last but not least from this individual, Trump supporters, which, I mean, that's us. That's what we do. That's what we do around here. We be judging you about that shit. We do be judging you about that shit. And then, yeah. Oh my goodness. And I got one message from my friend. I actually was allowed to call this one out. My friend Casey, who when the question was presented, was gave a twofold answer, which is really great. So thanks a lot, Casey. I appreciate it. Physically, body odor and jacked up teeth, which is a very valid concern. It's a hugely valid concern. Because that kind of stuff indicates like your overall health too, you know, especially your teeth. People like don't like going to the dentist, but no one loves going to the dentist, but your teeth affect so much of how your overall body functions and works because everything that keeps you alive pretty much goes in through your mouth. With the exception of oxygen, although some of that comes in through your mouth as well. Like you drink your water, you eat your food, you know what I mean? You get sunlight from the sky and shit like that. But like most of what you need to live goes in through your mouth. So if your mouth is soiled and unclean and untaken care of, it's just going to poison the rest of your body because you're just sucking all that shit right back down into your body and recycling it. It's terrible. And body odor, that goes without saying. If you stank, I need you to go handle that business. I have a very sensitive nose, so when somebody stank, it bothers me. Like, it actually makes me physically nauseated, but also, like, visibly emotionally distraught. Like, I will have, like, a severe emotional reaction to you coming around me and being stank. It makes me feel disrespected. Like, you knew you were coming to see me. You couldn't even wash your ass before you came up here. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Because I guarantee you you're not. That's a great one, Case, by the way. Appreciate that. Yeah, and then the personality things, arrogance and entitlement, which are two very off-putting qualities, just in general. Yeah, it's just really weird that, you know, people will like walk around like, you know, they're king shit of fuck mountain, as Chad Daniels would say. And then you realize really very quickly, people who carry themselves like that are really not. They're usually some of the worst people ever, and some of the weakest people too. Like, it's almost disturbing to find out just how incredibly thinly put together they are, you know? Yeah, that, so the arrogance thing I totally get. And the entitlement, that's just saddening to see, especially because, you know, we're all, I would imagine most of us are adults, at least above the age of 18. Some of us probably in our, you know, 30s, 40s and beyond. Somebody who feels like everything's owed to them would definitely make me need to, like, you know, reevaluate my time spent with them. You know, it's like the sense of entitlement is horrifying to look at, because it's like, oh, you think that everything should just be handed to you. The only other thing that's like as bad is when somebody just is, they expect that everything should be about like self-centeredness. Can be so self-centered and self-absorbed that you forget that all other things exist except for you and your universe. That's very off-putting. And it makes people go like, okay, since you only care about you, I know you don't give a fuck about me. And if you're not going to do things to take care of you, that means you definitely not going to take care of me, because you don't even care about yourself. So it makes for a bad setup for a relationship in the first place, you know? Like, the simple things, and that's, I guess, where the BO, body odor, bad teeth kind of shit comes from, because you're not going to take care of you. I can't expect you to take care of me. You know, what the fuck are we talking about right here? Why are we wasting each other's times? Each other's time is what I meant. See, the physical thing for me is the teeth. It's hard to not notice jacked up teeth. The dude could have the best smile around, but if he's arrogant or comes off as entitled, it kills everything. I can totally agree with that, Case. Thank you very much for writing in, and you guys, thank you for being listening to the podcast. Thank you for supporting me by, you know, tuning in, listening, sharing, all that good stuff. Thank you so much. This has really been a great episode. I appreciate it. And again, don't forget the question for this week, right? If you could go back in time 15 years and talk to your younger self and say one thing or do one thing, what would that one thing be? Feel free, like I said, to hit me up on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingwithonestudios. You can join for free, follow for $3 a month, and then also you can hit me up on Blue Sky at w1studios.bsky.social. And then you can also, if you're a gamer, you want to come and check me out, I'll be on Twitch. We're trying to keep to the schedule, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Usually it's going to be between, depending. I'm trying to shoot for like earlier afternoons during the week, so Monday, Wednesday, between like 1 and 3, and then Friday and Saturday, those times will vary, but they'll generally be between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard at twitch.tv/linkib. Links are in the description if you're curious and want to know more. And I'm gonna get out of here. Like I said, it's a beautiful day outside today. I might go and sit in the sunlight a little bit, get some of my vitamin D from the sunlight, and yeah, chill and think about some things. And in the meantime, in between time, I love y'all. And appreciate y'all. And I guess happy Halloween to those of you who celebrate. I don't, but you know, whatever you do, be careful out there. You know what I mean? Look out for one another and yourselves. And I'll catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace, and thank you very much. Goodbye.